in this life, if we're going to be known, we need relational spaces, places that we can actually be who we are and not feel like we've got to put on a mask. Right? I got to put on my religious mask. I'm going to church. Everything's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Right? And then on the inside, you know you are absolutely falling apart. A relations place where you can be fully known, where you can be vulnerable, where you can laugh, where you can scream, where you can sing out loud, where everybody knows your name and everybody loves that, right? Where you can cry, where you can actually make mistakes, and guess what? People will still love you. Where we can actually deal with our struggles and not feel like I'm going to get rejected. And listen, we all deal with things. Am I right? We all have different things going on in our life. And is there anybody, let me just say, anybody here that loves drama? Right? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, it's part of my life. Listen, usually nobody likes it, but everybody, if you're alive today, you've had drama in your life. Am I right? There's been some kind of drama, and it's like just as soon as that drama show is over, a new one's beginning. And you got previews going on. Oh, no, here it comes. I know it's on its way, right? And listen, we all struggle all the time. And I think that we know that everybody else struggles too, but yet we still want to hold that back. We don't want people to know that. Often we take our chance when it comes to holding things in, even though we know it's not healthy. Right? I mean, we know that that's not a good. If I just kind of contain everything, we think, oh, you know what? As long as I keep everything in, then everything's going to be okay. But let me tell you, here's the reality. What happens when we actually begin to share some of the maybe the drama or the struggles that we're going through, one of the things that it produces in a healthy community, let me say that, because you can let that out in an unhealthy community and it's not going to be good. But in a healthy community, it will produce empathy with others that are around. And what happens is that it begins to actually draw us closer. It's kind of like the glue in a relationship. When you find that somebody's struggling and they open up to you, I mean, you like, hey, listen, I want to help you through this. Right? It begins to draw us closer. And so this weekend, I want to talk about what it means to be known in our struggle, in our difficult areas. And like I said, I know this is not very exciting stuff because given the choice, we would rather be known by our successes than our struggles. Am I right? And like, let me ask you this. When you type up a resume, we like to put all the accomplishments, all of the goals, my degrees, my whatever, there's not usually a category for your failures and disappointments, is there? List all of your failures. Oh my goodness, I need an extra page, right? All right, we don't want to, that's not on there, and we don't want to really share that because we would rather not reveal the worst times in our life, the worst seasons that we're going through. And I get that. I totally understand that. I don't want to because those things don't produce they don't make me feel good. You know, when I can share about my successes, it's like, man, I can walk out, I've done this and I've done that. But let me tell you, this weekend I want to offer you two encouragements and then I want to offer you challenges in those encouragements and how we can overcome those struggles. So we're going to look at something that James, the Apostle James said, as well as a quote from Apostle Paul. And I'm just going to start out with James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Right. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So the first thing that I want us to see in here, and I believe this is part of the process, is what James is telling us is that we have to get to this place where we can confess. Right? And I'm not talking about going to a priest and, you know, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. That's not what I'm... This is talking about confessing to one another. Basically sharing with one another that if I want to get to a place of healing, I've got to be able to learn to share my challenges and my struggles. Am I right? Right? So, listen, I think when you hear that, it's like, wow, James, big surprise. I know that I've got to do that. That's why, you know, there's counselors, support groups where you can actually go and share that. And listen, those places are important, but do you realize that the body of Christ is what God's original plan was at? But sometimes that's not always a safe place, so we have to go pay somebody to do something that we should be able to do as the body of Christ. That should be something that is natural. And the challenge to confession is that we have struggled. It's the exact opposite of what we want to do. Like, you know what, I know that I need to confess, but I don't want to confess. But according to what it says, James, he doesn't just say confess. He goes on to say that we should pray for one another, right? So the confession should be followed up with prayer. But let me tell you, how can you really pray and get to the root of the problem if there's been no confession, right? If I'm struggling with something and I just say, hey, brother, pray for me, but I don't let you know and let you into my area, then I don't really know how to pray for you. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. The Holy Spirit knows all of that. But if I'm really going to deal with the issue that I'm going through, I've got to have some people in my life that I can be real with. And like, hey, listen, this is an area I'm struggling with. I need to confess this. I need to get this out on the table. Amen? So James says we should confess, and I'll get back to the struggles of that in a minute. But the second thing I want to note about this is that sometimes the struggles you and I go through is not a result of sin. Am I right? I mean, listen, there's this thing called life that sometimes throws curveballs at us. Anybody ever been hit by one of those curveballs? You know, in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament time, people just kind of assumed that if you're going through some kind of a struggle, even if it's a physical issue, it must be because there's some kind of sin in your life. Right? Oh, you're going through, what did you do wrong? You know, I mean, you know, where did you blow it? I mean, that happened to Job, didn't it? Job started going through issues, and all of his wonderful friends started saying, okay, you think you're so righteous, but you obviously did something. You obviously blew it somewhere. You see it in the New Testament, John chapter 9, where there's a blind man, and Jesus and his disciples came up, and they asked Jesus, all right, Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? Because he wouldn't be blind if there wasn't some kind of a sin in his life. And let me tell you, some of the things we go through, it's, you know, I think that we feel like if I'm a Christian, then I'll never have another problem in my life. Has anybody ever achieved that? Like, I haven't. That's not what God promised. God didn't promise that. He promised that he would be with us through all of that, but he didn't say, oh, you're going to have a problem-free life. And so it's not just a matter of sin, but sometimes sin is the issue. Sometimes it's just the circumstances of life. So the second thing that I want to share, the other scripture is out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And this is from Paul. And he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so, yes, that carry, sometimes that word can mean physically, you know, literally carrying something. But I believe literally and figuratively as well that sometimes we just help people carry emotional burdens. So how do we do that? Here's the reason why this is a challenge is because we got a hard enough time managing our own stuff, right? I mean, am I right? Like, I got to carry somebody else's stuff. I can't even carry my own stuff, right? I've got too much weight as is. But Paul is telling us to take on other people's stuff. I mean, we don't have anything else to do, right? Okay, sure. You know what? Sure, God, I'll take that on. I don't know how I'm going to make it to the end of this week my own self, but now you're telling me to do this. But listen, Paul and James are telling us that when struggle breaks out in our life, we've got a twofold obligation, that is to confess and to carry, right? Confess and to carry. And as I'm thinking about that, it sounded awfully familiar to two words that we hear in our life, conceal and carry, right? Now, why does somebody have a conceal and carry permit? For what? Protection, self-defense, am I right? Well, I think spiritually when we have our own struggles, we want to do the same thing. We want to conceal our issue and we want to carry it ourselves. Am I right? We don't want anybody else to know. And you know what? Don't worry. I'm not going to let anybody know. I'm just going to carry it myself. But Paul and James are admonishing us to confess it and to allow others to help us carry that. And that's the way we get healed and fulfill our obligation to be helpful and to help other people. Amen? Amen. So as I was thinking about this, I thought about a day in history, November 7th, 1991, and there was a great athlete that played his game, was at the top of his game, but he stood in front of cameras and made an amazing confession that in 1991 was a huge deal. Some of you guys are going to remember this, like it was like, what? I can't believe he's confessing that. But he stood before a camera and he said, because of the HIV virus I have obtained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today. Who knows who that was? Right, Magic Johnson. We remember. And listen, he was like a five-time NBA champion. He was at the prime of his life. He was still doing amazing. He was known on the court. How many of you know after that day, he was known in a much different way? Right? He made himself vulnerable, not to just his close friends, but basically to the public. And honestly, whatever the situation is, that was a pretty bold move, wasn't it? That was a pretty bold thing, because that goes against the nature of us humans. Our nature is to kind of hide that. So it goes against that. And listen, we don't want to admit things. I mean, we don't want to admit, you know what, yeah, I had too much coffee. I mean, that's kind of my issue sometimes, right? Like, I may get a little wired. I had too much. We don't want to admit small things, much less bigger issues in our life. We don't want anybody else to know. Like, I'm not going to talk about my addictions. I'm not going to talk about if I'm dealing with depression. You know, a big taboo, especially that is rampant in our society. But, man, we're not letting anybody in. I struggle with pornography. Whoa, we're not telling nobody that, right? We're not going to talk about substance abuse. You know, there's certain things that are basically off the table. And listen, I understand that there are reasons. We don't want to talk about things. And listen, as I'm preparing for this message, the Lord is kind of really nailing me on things because I'm just going to tell you guys, and some of you guys already know it, the last almost 2 weeks now, I've been dealing with some back and neck pain. Never had that in my life. And I don't like to tell people things. I mean, I'll tell my wife, and after about 2 or 3 days of dealing with it, I told my wife, she told the kids, and I'm still not. Last Sunday, I was struggling with it, but none of you guys knew that. I didn't tell anybody that. I'm still picking up generators and doing things that I probably shouldn't be doing. But this week, as I've been studying over this message, Barbara Gordon came in and John came into the office on Thursday, and she asked how I'm doing, and like in my head, there was a battle going on. The first thing that I wanted to say is you guys know that. My hope is that as we talk about it, it's going to help us to begin to overcome that. So number one, the first barrier to confession, and let me tell you, there's probably a lot more than two, but I've only got enough time to talk about two, okay? So number one is fear. Confession, how many of you know fear plays immediately? Fear like just jumps on us. And listen, we make decisions to do the things that we are in life based on what we think other people are going to think about us. Am I right? You know, what is that person? And you know, if we can ever get to the point where, you know what, I got to stop worrying about what other people are going to think, and I've got to be honest. Right? But that's just, you know, that's overcoming that fear. And I think that's part of the reason sometimes we apologize in advance over something that we might allow people in. Like if your house isn't perfectly clean and, you know, people are coming over and you're like, hey, listen, I'm so sorry for the mess. And you're like, well, you know what? You got four kids running around. If your house wasn't a little messy, I would think something's wrong. Am I right? But yet, you know, we're worried about what they may think of me. Oh, no, they may think I'm a messy person. They may think I don't clean up. They may think all of this stuff. And so we, like, offer these apologies. You know what? I know you're getting in my car. My car's a mess. You know what? I'm so sorry. And it's like, listen, we're not judging you on those situations. And if you do, you need to stop it, right? So we need to try to cut off that negative perception of what we think other people are thinking. We need to stop worrying about trying to apologize about things just in case they may think something. And I believe that fear is also the reason we lie, right? We're afraid of their reaction if I were to tell the truth.
What would happen if I actually told the truth? And so we come up with some kind of a lie, something that may be plausible for make this to be palatable so that they don't think that I'm just some, you know, lame, you know, bad excuse, whatever the situation is. And so we come up with this. And I think that's why we see in the scripture many times, I don't know how many times the scripture says to fear not. Fear not. Several times Jesus said that, because what fear does is that it keeps us hiding. Am I right? Fear keeps us hiding. But Jesus said this, that the truth will do what? Amen. So I've got to learn to be able to walk in truth. And here's the problem with truth. Are you ready for the problem with truth? It doesn't always make us feel good to speak the truth. Isn't that right? It doesn't, you know, if I actually spoke the truth, then I'm putting myself out there. But I think in that moment, we're more interested in feeling good than we are being free. Think about that. Like, if I lie, then I'll feel better about myself because the truth's not out there. But I want to tell you, Jesus is interested in us being free more than he is in our momentary feeling good. Right? Because he is looking down the road from where we are right now, that if I can be honest right here, then I'm going to walk a path of freedom. Yeah. Amen? So number one is fear. The second one is shame. And let me tell you, we could preach a whole message on this one, right? I believe that shame is an unspoken epidemic in our culture right now. And shame is like the megaphone for anybody that struggles with any kind of negative self-worth. Am I right? That, you know, shame says, oh, you're a mess. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are, right? All of those things. Shame keeps telling us, and it holds us hostage all the time. It holds our healing hostage. And listen, a couple of months ago, I had the privilege of being able to go to Celebrate Recovery. And I know some of you guys have been through it, going through it. Am I right? One of the things that I just thought was so amazing about that night is that people were getting up there confessing things and not carrying the shame at the same time. And it's like, you know, it was so unusual, but it shouldn't be so unusual. It shouldn't be like that's the only place that we can go and be honest with our struggles without somebody going like, oh my goodness, you did what? Am I right? You're struggling with what? Like, oh, I would never struggle with that, right? That shouldn't be the reaction, but that's one of the things that shame tells us or fear tells us. I can't tell anybody my struggle because that may be the reaction. Anybody ever got a reaction like that? Like, it's like, man, I can't be honest. But listen, I've spoken with some of the people that have gone through that, and it's like that is a liberating thing to finally be able to share the struggles that we're going through in a safe environment without people like just shaking their head like, oh my gosh, that guy's disgusting. Come on, am I right? Then you're filling in your notes. Shame needs three things to survive. Like I have right here. Secrecy, silence, and judgment. Whatever you're going through, what does the enemy want to tell you? It's a secret. Don't tell anybody. Right? Just keep it secret. Just deal with it. You and God will get through this. Don't let anyone know. Keep silent. Don't share that with anyone. And how many of you know the judgment part, we're pretty good at judging our own self. Right? We're pretty good at condemning. You know that the scriptures say, don't let your heart condemn you? How many times do we condemn our own self? We're like, oh, the devil is condemning me. Well, most of the time, do you realize it's probably just us? It's just us condemning. Because if our heart is set free, the devil can condemn us all day, but we're walking free in Christ. And so we're pretty good at judging our own self. Listen, it is that voice of shame that keeps us thinking only about the moment and where we're at right now rather than down the road. A quote by Donald Miller in his book, he said, the more we hide, the harder it is to be known. And we have to be known to commit. We have to be known to commit. If we're going to really commit to following Christ, we've got to be known. Yeah. We've got to get out there. And listen, I understand that's a scary thing. Yes, there is that fear. All of that stuff is there. How do I get over that? There's fear and there's shame. Those are those hurdles for me to do that. How do I get over that? We have to enter into an unconditional loving community. We have to purpose to do that. Listen, nobody's going to push you into that. You have to say, listen, I'm willing to commit to an unconditional loving community, to find that there. And listen, I want to tell you, our goal at Freedom Church is that that is the kind of community that you will find here. That you can come with all of your mess, all of your stuff, all of your challenges, whatever it is, and that this would be a loving place where we would love you and help you through it. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we're all going through stuff our own self. Like, nobody is without these situations. Now listen, maybe whatever that person's going through, maybe you're not going through that one, but we're going through something else. Am I right? So we have to purpose to enter in that. I love what the scripture says in John 4:8. Perfect love expels what? All fear. When you can get in a place where there's the true love of God going on, then fear goes out the window. It's like, hey, listen, these people really love me. Let's be honest. When you a family member that you really love, when they come with their struggles, you're like, you know, I'm done with you. No, they know it's a loving environment, and fear goes out the window. In Peter, it says love covers a multitude of sin. So we have to engage in an authentic, unconditional, loving community so that stuff in our life can get rooted out. If I truly want to be healed, or do I want to carry this for the rest of my life? I mean, I think that's kind of the option. I can either struggle with this until the day I go home to be with the Lord or whatever, or I can be free and healed of this now instead, but it's going to cause me, I'm going to have to purpose to get into that. So that's the barriers to confession. I've got to begin to enter in. And listen, like I said, I believe that's what we have here. That's why we have our small groups, because we want to get connected to each other. A couple of barriers to carrying burdens. Number one, I think the first one is insecurity. It's right up there. Insecurity. What do I mean by that? Let me just ask you this question. Has anybody ever brought some of their stuff to you that you are just a little bit overwhelmed? Like, here's my problem, and you're just like, oh my goodness. I don't even know what to do with that, right? Like, they're telling you this stuff, and you're kind of paralyzed with fear because you're saying, listen, I am not qualified to help you. And I just want to tell you, that happens to pastors as well. We do not have all the answers. That may come as a big surprise. Yes, we went to Bible college, but they didn't give us a class on all of the problems and challenges everybody goes through in life. Like, how do I fix that? And it's like, I don't know. That's a mess, right? But here's the thing that I've learned, okay? So you guys want to get some wisdom right here. I don't have to have all of the answers. Let me tell you, you don't have to have all of the answers. What we need in order to carry people's burden is that we just need to be present. Am I right? We need to learn how to be there with people. Because that is powerful. You know, my wife and I have been married 31 years now, and for the first, I don't know how many years, probably more than it should have been, if she was going through something as a man and as her husband, when she came with a problem, you know what I wanted to do? Yes, see, you guys knew that. My mind is going, I got to figure out how to fix this. And thank God, somewhere along the line, I don't know if we received a teaching or what, or she shared, like, you don't have to fix this. I just want you to be there. I just want you to listen to me. I want there to be somebody. I want you to put your arm around me and hold me. And it's like, you know what? If that's true in marriage, how many of you know sometimes that is true in the situations we go through? If somebody tells you their stuff, take off the load that you feel like you have to fix it and know that, listen, I just want to be there for them. I want to be there. And listen, when somebody tells you what they're going through, don't give them, hey, listen, if you ever need someone to pray with you, just give me a call. That sounds really good, but how many of you know 9 times out of 10 when they're going through something, they're not going to call you? If somebody has shared something they're going through, you need to be the person that checks in on them. You need to take the initiative, and I need to begin to check them. Amen? So part of carrying burden is just being present, being willing to help people. How many of you know when you go through something, we do the research to find the answer sometimes. We might read a book. We might go on the line and like try to find out what we can do. Listen, sometimes maybe you can do that for somebody else. Hey, listen, I'm going through this. Hey, listen, let me find something that can help you. And it doesn't mean you have to do that, but presence is most important. And I think sometimes the overwhelmingness of an issue makes us feel like we need to have an answer. And so that just causes us to feel secure. But like I said, what do we need to do? Be present, right. The second barrier is inconvenience. Like, how many of you know sometimes stuff happens and it's just not the right time? Like, you know, oh, you know what? You called me with your stuff, but I really don't have an open space on my calendar till a week from Thursday to deal with your stuff. How many of you know things happen at inconvenient times? Like, somebody tells you what's going on and you're like, man, why did you call me? I can think of three or four other people you could have called before me. Like, it's not on my schedule. I don't really have the time. It's not really a good time for this right now. But you kind of feel like that situation. Anybody ever call customer service online because you've got a problem and they're talking to you, that you tell them what the problem, they're like, well, let me transfer you to a department that can help you. And then you get to that department and they tell, oh, you know what, I need to transfer you to this department. And somebody comes to you and they're like, hey, listen, well, you know, that's a big problem. Let me transfer you to Pastor Scott. Let me transfer you to Pastor Colin. Let me transfer you to somebody else. Listen, that's not the thing. Inconvenience happens all the time. And I love this quote. This is a fill in your notes, that community is messy. Can we go to the next slide? Community is messy. This quote from Timothy Keller, he says, people are messy, therefore relationships will be messy. So don't be surprised by messiness. Right? Isn't that like so basic? Don't be surprised that somebody that may look like they got their act together might actually be going through something. Because we're really good at putting on a face. And don't be surprised. Listen, we've had encounters with people that I thought, I guarantee you, they've never had a problem in the world. They looked just like the perfect couple. And then there have been times that they have broken and they have spilled out and all of this stuff came out and you're like, whoa, I didn't know you were even going through that. Challenges happen. People are messy. Every one of us. So don't be surprised when that happens. Listen, I think that sometimes we want this perfect little community that doesn't have any drama or any struggle. Do you realize that that kind of community doesn't exist? Right? Does anybody have any work environment where nobody struggles? Nobody has any messes? Right? Does that happen? It doesn't happen in church either. Because nobody comes to church and is the perfect person. It just doesn't happen. And so if we're going to really be the body of Christ and a loving community, we've got to understand that sometimes mess happens and we have to be willing in season and out of season to be there for that person. Am I right? So how do I get over that barrier? And listen, I think that it's like a muscle. I think we have to practice unselfishness, and we have to practice being present for people. We have to begin to practice that. It has to become like muscle memory, like when somebody has a situation, not to immediately look for the out, you know, not to say, oh, my phone's ringing. Oh, man, it's that person. You know what? Let me put that back. Let me just deny that call. I didn't even know you called, right? Well, I left a message. That's weird. I didn't get that message. It must be in cyberspace somewhere right there, you know, and you're like going on your phone, delete, 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 right? We have to practice. And I know nobody's done that here, you know, but it's other people that have done stuff like that. All right, so I believe we have to intentionally put ourselves in a situation where we can be available, where we can get inconvenienced, right? Where it doesn't, you know, and it doesn't throw off our entire world. Let me give you a verse, and I shared this a few weeks ago in another series I was doing. Mark chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, and it says Jesus was at preaching, and four friends carried their paralyzed person. And it says, they gathered in such a large number, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. This is Jesus speaking. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, and since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. By digging through it, they lowered the mat, and the man was lying on the mat, and Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. What I love about this story is that Jesus saw their faith, not the man on the mat. That was inconvenient to have to carry. Anybody ever carried around a paralyzed man? I don't think so. That's inconvenient. You know, you're carrying him, and then I can't get him in the house, so I'm going to dig through a roof. But I believe that sometimes our inconvenience, when we inconvenience ourselves, it can be a miracle in somebody else's life. Like, I'm putting myself out of the way, but if I will do that at the right person, you may not realize that you are actually helping somebody in a way that is bigger than you. You know, all I'm thinking about is, man, you know what, I was my favorite show's on TV. I can't believe, I'm looking like I actually have a watch here, but my favorite show's on TV, and you know, if we will allow ourselves to be inconvenienced, you have no idea how much that may bless somebody else and open up amazing things in their life. Amen? It reminds me in Genesis chapter 2, and I believe that this is a perfect picture of what God originally intended for us. Genesis 2:25, it says, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. No shame. But you know what happened is that all of a sudden deception, sin, all of that stuff came in, and what did Adam and Eve immediately start doing? Hiding, right? But you know what God was doing? He was looking. We talked about that in our discipleship class, right? You know, our shame causes us to hide from God, but the scripture says that God walked calling for Adam, where are you? Where are you? Amen? We need to realize, yes, I've done some stuff and shame wants to come in, but God wants to clothe us. God, even in our mistakes and our sin and all of that, the scripture says in Genesis 3:21 that the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Listen, we can try to cover our own self, but if we will come to God and we will be open, then God will begin to cover us a lot better than we could ever do. I don't know about you, but if I had a choice between fig leaves to clothe myself and an animal skin, I'm taking the animal skin every day. Because God's covering is better than anything I can do for my own self. There is a better cover. There's better safety under God. I believe that confession opens the door for restoration in our life and that carrying facilitates that process of healing that you and I need, that the world out here needs. There's a lot of people that are carrying stuff and they just need somebody to care enough to say, hey, what's going on? And they may not want to confess it, but let me tell you, I have found this to be true. Some of you probably have too. Sometimes I can strike up a conversation with somebody and I like to ask questions about them. You know, some people like strike up a conversation so they can tell everything about themselves. But I like to get in a conversation and ask other people questions and start talking. And when I express just a little bit of interest, and my wife will testify to this, I've had people tell me all kinds of stuff, and then they get to this point like, I have no idea why I'm telling you this. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I don't even know this person. This person doesn't know I'm a pastor. They just, you know, at a restaurant or wherever it is. But if we will actually love other people and begin to care and express interest, they might share something. And in the process, we begin to help carry that burden and getting them to Christ. Amen? I really feel like we just need to spend a couple of minutes in the presence of the Lord. And listen, if you need to come up here and maybe you've been carrying something, if you need prayer or anything, I know my wife and I will be up here. If you need prayer over anything and maybe you want to confess something, you can do that. You can do that here. You can do that another time. Whatever it is, I'll tell you what, I believe that God wants healing for you.